God has an encouraging word for you and me today through the Bible-based preaching of Dr. Don Wilson and a message on submissiveness. And I know that works against the grain sometimes, doesn't it? The idea of being submissive to someone else, something else. But isn't that God's great calling on our life? The enemy wants to make us think we're in charge, that we have control. Now more than ever, I think we realize we don't have control. But God is in control. And I pray that in this moment of your life and my life, if you need to lean on somebody, you would choose someone who's following Christ. We have great friends talking and praying with each other right now at 866-899-WORD and would love to include praying for you today. That's 866-899-9673 or meet us online at tewonline.org. Now today's message, Be Submissive with Dr. Don Wilson.
Take your Bibles and turn with me to 1 Peter. Because I'm a Christian man and the Lord Jesus lives in my heart, I'm a Christ follower. Now what that means, it means that I accepted God's challenge. But I want God to challenge me because I accepted His challenge. What was His challenge? This is what Jesus said. Jesus said, Don, if you want to trust me, you want to be forgiven of your sin. You want to have life? You want to be set free? You want to have purpose? You want to know what real joy and happiness is? You want to know that when you die that you're going to go to heaven and live with the Lord Jesus forever? Yes, I do, I said to the Lord. He said, okay, here's what you've got to do. You've got to deny yourself. You've got to take up the cross. And by the way, the cross was not a very nice thing. You've got to take up the cross of Christ, and then you've got to follow me. Now, to follow me means that I'm going to get myself in line with Jesus. I am a follower of Christ. We are a disciple-making church. We want you to follow Jesus. I'm a follower of Christ. Listen to what the Bible tells me, and I'm going to read this passage to you. And I'm actually going to discipline myself not to stop, because I just want to, I want you to hear this. I'm going to be in 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 13. Starts out, be subject. That's the word, be submissive. Be subject for the Lord's sake to every human institution, whether it be the emperor or the king as supreme, or to governors as sent by him to punish those who do evil and to praise those who do good. For this is the will of God, that by doing good, you should put to silence the ignorance of foolish men. Live as people who are free, not using your freedom as a cover-up for evil, but living as servants of God. Honor everyone, love the brotherhood, fear God, and honor the emperor. Servants, be subject, be submissive to your masters with all respect, not only to the good and gentle, but also to the unjust. For this is a gracious thing when, mindful of God, one endures sorrows while suffering unjustly. For what credit is it if, when you sin and are beaten for it, you endure? But if when you do good and suffer for it, you endure, this is a gracious thing in the sight of God. For to this you have been called, because Christ also suffered for you, leaving you an example so that you might follow in his steps. He committed no sin, neither was deceit found in his mouth. And when he reviled, he did not revile in return. When he suffered, he did not threaten. But he continued entrusting him to the one who judges justly. He himself bore our sins in his body on the tree, that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. By his wounds you have been healed, for you were straying like sheep, but now have returned to the shepherd and overseer of your souls. Likewise, wives, be subject, be submissive to your own husbands, so that even if some of you do not obey the word, that they may be won without a word by the conduct of their wives. When they see your respectful and pure conduct, do not let your adorning be external, the braiding of hair, putting on gold and jewelry, or the clothing you wear, but let your adorning be the hidden person of the heart with the imperishable beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is in God's sight a very precious thing. For this is how the holy women who hoped in God used to adorn themselves by submitting to their own husbands. Like Sarah, for example, who obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord, you are her children, and if you do good and do not fear anything that is frightening, likewise, husbands, live with your wives in an understanding way, showing honor to the woman as the weaker vessel, since they are joint heirs with you of the grace of life, and in order that your prayers may be unhindered. Wow, there's a lot in that. May God give us an understanding and write His word upon our hearts. All right. Here we've got a predicament. I present to you a predicament. God is telling us that if we want to live a life that is well-pleasing to Him, we need to live in a state of submission. Now, my children are long grown and adults, and I love them all. But I do also remember when they were little squawking chickens. And some of you remember that well, because you have squawking chickens in your house as I speak. How many times does not a child, especially a teenager, not want to submit to what mother or father has to say? And every time they don't submit, they lose. And just think about this for a minute. Parents do know better. Not in a perfect world. I didn't say parents are perfect. And I didn't say parents don't make many, many mistakes. But God is the God of order. Now, I want you to really get a hold of this. He not only created us after His order, but He designed us in line with His order. Satan is the sower of discord and confusion. The single best way to destroy any world is to turn God's order upside down and destroy God's order. Now, watch this. God in 1 Peter uses three examples to get the point across to us. He uses two examples and then He illustrates it with a third. So what does He tell us? The first example about kings, emperors, governors, which of course back in Peter's day were pretty relevant. Then He switches gears and He talks about slave masters. Quite an abhorrent concept. And then He switches gears and He picks on married men. Thank you very much. So here we've got three illustrations. We've got kings and their subjects. We've got slave masters and their slaves. And we've got husbands and their wives. I'm going to suggest to you that there are two fundamental reasons why God uses kings, slave masters, and married men to talk to us about this very important issue of spiritual submission, no matter how popular or unpopular it is. Two reasons. Number one, because of the position they occupy. There are not a lot of kings left in the world, but there still are. They emperors, they are powerful people, have a lot of authority, their position. Then He talks about the abhorrence of slave masters. Of course, back in Paul Peter's time, that was very, very real. But He uses it. He talks about His current day and age, and He says, I'm going to show you this issue about slaves in relation to those who have a position of dominance over them. And then he talks about married men. Men have a position in the house. God's word says that the man is the head of the house. God says that the married man in his position is the head of his household.
You're listening to Dr. Don Wilton, our teacher here on The Encouraging Word. He'll be back in just a moment with the rest of today's message. But you know, as you're listening, perhaps there are things that you've raised a flag. You're saying, well, I'd like to know more about that. You have questions. Let us discover the answers together in the Bible itself, God's Encouraging Word. You can call us right now at 866-899-WORD. That's 866-899-9673. I pray you've jotted it down or store it in your cell as a contact. We'd love to be available to encourage you anytime. 866-899-9673, or meet us online at tewonline.org. That's tewonline.org. Now back to today's message with Dr. Don Wilton.
So the first reason he's going to give us these three illustrations, kings, slave masters, and married men, is because of their position. But I think the second reason why he tells us that is because of their gender. He talks about men. Somewhat interesting to me that he doesn't mention queens here. He could have. He doesn't talk about slave mistresses here. He could have. And he certainly doesn't single out wives in what he is trying to say concerning submission. So why does he pick on men? I believe because men have a far greater propensity for dominant cruelty than women do. Men are built differently to women, just in case anybody hasn't noticed. It is an undeniable, indisputable fact, which will explain to you why spousal abuse, for example, is a very, very real thing. I can guarantee you, you can go to the prisons of America today, and by far the greater percentage of people incarcerated in America today are men. That's why we have so many laws to protect the abuse of girls and of women. That is why he tells us this. Men, by virtue of their maleness, are far more aggressive and have a far greater propensity to turn their innermost being into something very, very ugly over the one who is a far more delicate vessel. Am I giving you a pure statistic? No. Am I suggesting to you that there are not, sadly, some women in the world who behave very badly? Most certainly, I'm not saying that. But I am going to tell you, in a marriage relationship, men, how are you treating your wife? We men have the capability of being extremely unkind, extremely tough, extremely physical. And I tell you what, there are many men today who should be serving life sentences for the manner with which they abuse that person called woman who is his wife. Now, what is God trying to tell us here? What is all of this about? By the way, it's very interesting to know that little word, weaker vessel, does not mean unequal. Because women are co-equal in every way, according to God. That word, weaker, doesn't mean silent, incapable, unable to lead, nothing to say, stay home and wash the dishes. That's not what that word weaker means. If you go into the Greek text, the word there refers to an extremely delicate, expensive item. Now, I love to drink hot tea, as some of you probably know. I can put here on the table, if I'm going to prepare you a jolly good cup of tea, I can put a good old big old mug like a old coffee mug or one of these big old mugs that we use, which are very nice, and put there and fix you a cup of tea. Or I can get you some bone china, a proper teacup. If I can just give you a little tip, when you drink hot tea, drink it out of the right cup. If you serve tea out of the wrong cup, it's going to be far more bitter than if you use it out of the right cup. God here is trying to present to us something that is very unique because of the order of God. Now, I'm going to take us on a quick journey here. Why does God tell us to submit? In this passage, there are four reasons. Number one, because it's a command. Look at verse 13. He said, be submissive. So are there any further questions? Why are we told to submit? Because God tells us to. Be submissive to authorities. Be submissive. Listen, in America today, folks, we are facing a crisis of submissiveness. Even in a secular world, everything eventually gets turned on its head, and the result is anarchy. When you end up with no order in a society, it first of all leads to chaos. Chaos leads to anarchy. Anarchy destroys. If you want to see examples of that, there are hundreds of examples in hundreds of countries that have collapsed, not from the outside in, but from the inside out, where everybody becomes a law unto themselves. Chaos, followed by anarchy, everything implodes and falls down because we destroy order. Why are we to submit? Number one, because it's a command. Number two, because it has a prime reason. He tells us there in verse 13, the reason is for the sake of the Lord Jesus Christ. Do it because he says it, but secondly, submit to one another for the sake of the Lord Jesus. Now, God by his Spirit's going to connect you to that today. Just do it because for the Lord's sake. This is what he requires of us. Number three, because it speaks to a serious problem. What is the serious problem that the Bible's talking about here? He tells us, he says, listen, when the ignorance of foolish men begin to take root in the heart of any society, you've got a serious problem on your hands. There's a serious problem here. We talk in our world of a male-dominated society. A male-dominated society can result in very, very serious problems when that domination is unkind and where that domination is designed to hurt. Now, watch where I'm going with this, folks. When we follow the Lord Jesus, what Jesus requires of us is that every one of us behave and act in a manner that would exemplify, follow, would emulate, would copy what Jesus did. And so what Jesus is about to say to us, wives, submit to your husbands. Husbands, love your wives. What Jesus is about to say in this delicate order between male and female, the design of God is that man, married man, ought to love his wife and his family and be kind and be generous and be soft and be tender and to be hugging and to be inclusive and to be communicating and to be involved and to be the servant of all servants in his home. That's what God is saying. Why must we submit? I have a problem. I don't want to. I got a problem. Why should I? I got a problem because it threatens my understanding. It's a command. It's a prime reason. Speaks to a serious problem. But there's a fourth reason why we are told to submit. And it's simply this, because it produces God-honoring results. And this is where I want to wrap this together. What are the God-honoring results? There are 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 of them. Number one, it affirms God's will. Look at verse 15. He tells us very clearly there, for this is the will of God. There is nothing more beautiful than a marriage in which the man is the man and the woman is the woman. And they live in co-equal harmony. I'm telling you, folks, when I married my wife, Karen, I came out of an all-boys family. All I knew about, and I'm not exaggerating, was boys stuff. You know, boys are made of puppy dogs and frogs and alligators and whatever it is, you know, and girls are made of sugar and spice and all things are nice. And you can cut that any way you like, it's true. Listen, when I had Rob and Greg, it was like having two pet gorillas in my house, and then my Shelley Ann came. It was like there is a God after all. So don't give me all this stuff about girls are not girls and boys are not good. We've got something really to celebrate together. This is the will of God. Then God created male and female. He created them. And God saw what He had made. And everything that He made was good. When I married Karen 40 years ago, man, I was as ignorant. I'm telling you guys, there were some times in the first few years of our married life where I spoke to her. I was going through spiritual battles. I was so full of myself. Thought I was the king of my own castle. My motorbikes and my this and my that and my surfboards. And I treated her so badly, man. You know what my wife did, what Karen did? She just loved me back. That's what submission is. That beautiful fragrance, man, that spirit of womanhood, this priceless vessel that she is, the way God made her. She just gave herself to me. She never stopped loving me. She never stopped praying for me. And through that, God just God, it's like I had an awakening. My eyes were just opened. I just want to be with her and just love her and provide for her and protect her and honor her. Yes, I'm one of those men. My kids wouldn't be where they are were it not for her. She's the one. I'm telling you, our household, the way I go, my work, my ministry, my trade, if it wasn't for her, what are you talking about? Listen, this issue, what he's talking about here is very real stuff. This is the will of God. Produces God-honoring results. It affirms the will of God. It silences foolish men. I was a foolish man. I was the one who was down there. And through the fragrancy of her female life, she lifted me up to where I needed to go. That's what it means to submit. What are the God-honoring results? Will of God, silencing foolish men. It's the example of Jesus. Tells us right there in verse 21, Jesus did this. Jesus let those people do what they need to do because he was submitting to the Father. And look at the result. I've been set free because Jesus submitted. My life is different. I tell you, there are hundreds upon hundreds of godly women in this world whose husbands are where they are today for no other reason under God than the godly woman that God brought into their lives. It points unbelievers to Christ and also guarantees unanswered prayer. That's a clincher there in verse 7. Bible tells us, want me to tell you something? Men, you don't do what I'm telling you to do and behave like you're supposed to behave, God's not going to answer your prayers. Guys, there is nothing more wonderful than living in a beautiful relationship with your wife in your home or whatever it is you're doing, visiting friends. It's like the two of you are like inseparable. And she is every bit the woman. She is every bit that tiny little baby girl. That beautiful little treasure that God birthed all those years ago, just filled with estrogen from top to toe. And you are every bit of the man that God birthed all those years ago, as that little boy filled with testosterone from top to toe. You're every bit male. She's every bit female. But what you are is you are living in a submissive relationship according to the standards that God has set before you.
Wow. Mutual submission, ultimately submissive to God. What a powerful message from Dr. Wilton. As we move on to the wrap up today's Tuesday edition, I pray that you would be open to what God might want to say to you, not just about relationships, but about the most important relationship. Again, here's Dr. Don Wilton.
Are you ready to give your heart and life to the Lord Jesus Christ? I'm so happy to hear that. Why don't you pray this prayer with me today? Dear God, I know that you love me very, very much. And I know that the Lord Jesus Christ came and died on a cross so that I might be forgiven of my sin. Today, I repent of my sin. I confess my sin to you. And I invite you to come into my heart and into my life by faith. In Jesus' name I pray. If you've prayed that prayer, let me be the first one to welcome you to the family of God. This is wonderful.
Now, if you've just given your heart to Jesus, praying along with Dr. Wilton moments ago, or maybe rededicated your life to Christ, Dr. Wilton has some wonderful resources absolutely free for you to help you begin your life of following Jesus Christ. We also are committed to be alongside you, to encourage you, to help you find a local church in your area that will help not only strengthen you and feed you and grow you, but give you a place to roll up your sleeves and get involved. Service is an important part of our Christian life. Again, we'd love to hear from you. 866-899-WORD is our phone number. That is 866-899-9673. Or meet us online at tewonline.org. That's tewonline.org. And you know, Dr. Wilton is known for many things, but his knowledge of the end times is really paramount. And coming up next, Liz is going to tell you about a wonderful series of information and inspiration from Dr. Don on that very topic.
The world is rapidly coming to an end. We are seeing the Bible being fulfilled almost every day. Be careful who you watch and listen to. The world is full of false prophets. Hold fast to the Word of God. Give your heart to Jesus now. Join Dr. Don Wilton as he reveals biblical truths about end times in his message, A Picture of End Times. Plus, you will receive See You at the Finish, written by Dr. Wilton. Both of these ministry resources will be sent to you for your gift of $25 or more to the Encouraging Word. You will be inspired and encouraged to finish the race set before you. Call us at 866-899-9673 to request A Picture of End Times, plus See You at the Finish book today. The Encouraging Word is a viewer and listener-supported ministry that trusts in God to supply our needs through people. Thank you for listening today.
I do hope you'll get your copy of A Picture of End Times. Details again online at tewonline.org. That's tewonline.org. Or feel free to call us anytime at 866-899-WORD. That's 866-899-9673. Join us tomorrow as Dr. Don Wilton talks about being united here on The Encouraging Word. The Encouraging Word.